following announcement has been paid for by Bennett and Son, Inc.
One of them's a son.
The sweet, smooth, smooth sounds of two grown men talking about grown men things.
The other one's a father.
You want real discussions between two comedians who happen to be father and son?
You got it!
Testing, 1, 2, test.
See how that works?
Yeah.
But you got, I'm telling you, you have to be more on top of
okay,
the mic.
Okay, yeah,
like
I get it, like this, right?
Right.
All
right,
fine. No,
six inches,
I get it, I get it, I get it. I got to be close like this, I get it.
2 inches.
Okay.
Okay,
yes.
And then I'll play it back for you, and you can see what each of those are.
Yeah, I can already see you're starting into your little, I'm performing now for the audience.
I'm not.
You were for a minute
okay.
there.
Okay, well, listen.
You were. I see. I can tell because your head cocks to the side and your eyebrows raised up a little bit and it's like, comedy.
You know, just let me do what I do.
I'm going to let you do what you do, but if you start performing, I'm going to call you out. Just want to let you know.
What you call performing, I just call functioning in the world.
Yeah, I get it. So, yeah, welcome to the Ross and... What are we calling this again?
I mean, for me, the working title is Bennett and Son, Inc. Okay, that's the way I see it.
Talk to me.
What do you think I'm fucking doing?
You're not talking to me.
I'm looking at you.
You're performing for the crowd. I'm trying to get you to loosen up and just talk to me. That's all I'm saying. That's it.
I don't want to do a big pull a big attitude on you, but I've been doing this for 35 years.
Right. You've been doing podcasts for 35 years? Is that what's
been going? I've been performing. I've been on the radio. I've done interview shows for 35 years.
Yeah.
So just, you know, I'm going to do the best I can.
Do what you got to do.
Okay.
So it's Bennett and Son, Inc., Ross and Nash. Right?
No, I don't think so. I don't think Ross and Nash is necessary.
I think Ross and Nash is necessary because people need to know who we are. People are going to hear the name Ross Bennett, and the people who are comedy connoisseurs are going to realize who Ross Bennett is. And Nash, I'm trying to get my name out there. You know? I'm trying to get my name out there.
I just don't know if Ross and Nash are necessary. Or you could have it as a second line.
Okay.
As a second line, Bennett and Son, Inc. with Ross and Nash.
Right.
That's what we were talking
about.
I
like that.
But, you know, but this is all, it's all up in the air. I mean, this is all, these are working titles.
Holding the mic sucks.
Huh?
Holding this mic sucks.
You know,
I've done it
for an hour a night for the past 35 years. So don't start complaining to me, literally. After 5 minutes of sitting with the I have a phone call coming in. Oh, it's Arnold Graham. Hold on. Hello, Arnold?
Yeah, take your time.
Hello, Arnold? Hi. I'm doing fine.
Sorry, folks. He's got a little bit of comedy business going on.
I would say the 13th would be my choice.
Oh, my God.
September 2 is...
Don't worry, folks. We're going to edit a lot of this.
I'm doing the 3rd and the 13th. Right. A week. I can't wait. Are you going to it?
Oh, my God.
Okay.
He can't wait, folks.
All right.
It's going to be fucking epic.
Bye.
Well, Mr. Ross Bennett just got booked at a gig. Woodlock Pines. What's the date? Mark this on your calendars. What is it?
It's September 3rd.
September 3rd.
And September 13th.
There you go.
Okay.
September 3rd and September 13th, Woodlock Pines.
Oh, and this is...
In Bumblefuck. Where? Bumblefuck where? What state is Bumblefuck in?
You know...
No, tell me. I'm just fucking with you.
I would just like you to have a little more respect because this is how we're making rent.
I understand.
You know, these two gigs...
Yeah, but...
These two gigs are two-thirds of the way for rent for the month.
Good.
All right.
I'm messing with you.
Okay.
I'm not being a dick. I'm being a dick, you know? Difference.
Woodlock Pines is in the Poconos and it's a resort community.
All right.
You know? And I forget the name of the town. It's not Bumble. It has nothing to do with Bumble.
But a fuck might be in there.
Yeah. Hey, now quit performing. You know, you're performing there when you do that.
Right. So the difference is if you're performing and you're speaking in a normal voice, it just sounds like I'm doing it for you instead of doing it for the audience, which I actually am.
When you start talking like this, Bumblefuck.
I wasn't talking
Woodlock
like
Pines.
I wasn't talking like
that. All right.
Let me put this in the calendar right now.
Yeah, go for it. You guys aren't seeing this, but he has the microphone tucked underneath his arm as he's typing, and it actually is not a bad way to do it. He probably, his audio is not going to be as good doing it, but it does work.
Well, you know, back when I was working with blah blah blah, we didn't even have microphones.
Back when you were working with,
back when it was me, Bob Hope, and Milton Berle.
Yes.
All right.
Milton Berle.
We're backstage while Jack Benny's on.
And Milton Berle keeps on whipping it out and being like, can you imagine just this entering someone? It's insane. For those of you that don't know, Milton Berle was famous for having a large penis.
And apparently, he was very proud of it.
Yeah.
And had no problem showing
it off. So, in case the title wasn't enough, it's Bennett and Son, and we are a father and son. My dad, Ross Bennett, he's been a working comedian. It's been his profession for over 30 years.
We can say 35 years and
35.
Okay, yeah.
And I actually just started less than 2 months ago. I'm 29 years old. My life was kind of I didn't see a lot of options in my future, and my dad and a lady, a female comic who's a good friend of his named Corey Kahaney, they both, you know, they had been telling me for a couple years, you should try stand up, and I was like, I don't know how to write jokes, but you know, when I saw that for the next several years my only real source of income was going to be walking dogs, I said, you know what, fuck it. And I gave it a shot, but I've been watching my dad since I was a child, and he's just, you know, in my opinion, my dad is one of the best stand up comics out there. Right.
Blah
now.
Blah blah.
You know,
blah.
I'm just saying. You're
I
good.
Know, but I don't like to hear that. It's because because the truth is, I've seen the great ones, okay, and I'm a really good professional comedian. I'll go with that. I'm a really good professional comedian.
I saw you at the Comedy Cellar. How long ago was it? A few weeks ago?
Okay, yeah, it was about 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, and the crowd was totally with you, and you were just owning it, and then like halfway through you did your bestiality joke, and they completely turned off to the whole thing, and just by... You were able to get the crowd back on your side, do the joke again, and get an applause break from the same joke that they had that had just less than 3 minutes before bombed, and that to me it's like watching a master at work, you know, like it was awesome.
I'm glad you enjoyed it.
Yeah,
you know, it's just one of the skills I have. You know, I look at this thing. I've told you before. I look at it, I'm more like a bricklayer or a bowler, you know.
Mm.
A bowler is an athlete, but if you've ever seen them, physically one half of their body looks like Arnold Schwarzenegger, okay, and the other half of their body, you know, looks like a patient on the verge of death.
Yeah.
You know, it's just they're one, the side they don't bowl with is completely atrophied. And they have this massive,
right,
you know, steroid-ridden arm on the other side.
They're also go ahead. Sorry.
And there's one thing they do. There's this repeatable thing they do,
like golf.
Yeah, like but golf has more variance than bowling does, because golf you're physically walking to a different place each time. Okay, so where your ball is. Okay, and where your feet are and where you are on the course changes
I really don't care. I don't care. I was going to go into a joke, or not a joke, but I was going to say that bowlers and golfers show that you don't have to be in very good shape to be good at your profession, you know, or maybe to be good at your profession. I was thinking of John Daly.
Right.
And the fact that John Daly, you know, I was talking to my buddy Deshaun, and he was talking about how John Daly continues to get spots in these tournaments just because people want to see John Daly, but he hasn't been good for years.
Right.
And some other golfers are pissed at him because, you know, he's this hot mess, garbage human being. And he's just he's going in there and he's wasting a spot of someone who could be a legitimate contender. That was what I was going to say.
You know, I'm not going to use the kind of pejorative language that you used in describing John Daly.
Right, because you have a career that you have to try and take care of, and I'm just, I just don't care.
That's right. I mean, it's like I still imagine that sometime someone's going to want to hire me
exactly
to do an event, and John Daly's going to be present.
Exactly. He's going to hear this, he's going to be like,
he's
you
gonna,
motherfucker.
And
I can't believe he said that about me.
He's going to be, you know, three drinks in.
Exactly.
And this is the guy whose son said, hot mess loser or whatever you said. And
hot mess garbage human being.
They're garbage.
Garbage.
That's, you know, just a delightful way to express it.
It is. I'm going to put my mic. Can you hold my mic for a second? I'm going to take a swig of my diet soda.
How many sodas do you drink a day?
A lot. When I can afford it, which is really sad that I'm saying when I can afford bottles of diet soda, but when I can afford it, I probably have maybe four or five bottles a day.
Do we want to go?
I'm broke, ladies and gentlemen.
Do we want?
I'm dead broke. I work as a courier, and just to give you an example, I just got this job, and I was like, oh, this is going to bring in some big bucks. I had a job the other day. I live in New Jersey, in northern New Jersey, near New York City. I had a job where I had to go to a law office a few towns away and then drive over to Pennsylvania, drop this stuff off, and come back. The entire trip took about 3.5 to 4 hours total, cost me a half a tank of gas, and they told me that I am going to be getting paid a whopping $67. So, you know, to say that I need to boost my income is...
Oh, wait, 67. 67, let's figure this out. Half a tank of gas...
Here comes
is
the
maybe,
calculator.
Half a tank of gas is maybe $25.
You guys can't see it, but this is like an old-school 1980s calculator.
It's,
the one...
It was given away for free by Computer World Magazine.
Computer World Magazine,
ladies and
gentlemen.
Computer World Magazine still exists anymore.
I don't think it's exists for 10, 15
years.
And
what you have to realize is I did not get this new.
No?
I didn't get this new. This, like... This was something I found someplace from. It was a yard sale or something.
And it's one of those ones that's solar powered. So
it's solar, which is good. So, the battery's not going to run.
No. As long as you get the dust cake off the front of the solar thing. So
let's
you can get decent reception.
Let's just say $67. And let's just say
maybe figure $15, $20. Figure $20 for gas.
Okay, I'm going to figure $25. For gas,
half a tank.
Yeah, let's just say 25 for everything involving your car.
Okay,
and that is $42. You said 4 hours, right?
4 hours
divided by four.
That's $10.25 an hour.
$10.50.
$0.50 an hour.
Okay, now I would love for you to be making $12, $13 an hour. But you gotta start somewhere.
You gotta start somewhere. It's true.
It's a good job.
And the thing, I love to drive. I love to drive.
And there's no one in the car while you're at work who is
pissing
irritating
me off.
You.
Yeah. I have a problem sometimes. I get into workplaces and I do okay for the first few months and I'm a hard worker. And then people start pissing me off, and let's just say either shit gets broken, or it just gets to be a really uncomfortable situation where I end up being like, "Fuck all of you," and I just leave.
if what you did was actually what you just said, your life would be a lot easier than it is now. If all you did was said at that tone of voice, fuck all of you, and then I'm out of there, your life would be a lot better off than where you are right now.
I agree.
But I'm going to say you're doing a lot better.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
You know, you're doing a lot better.
You are too, by the way.
Thanks.
You've been behaving yourself.
Well, our counseling is working.
Yes, we do family therapy together, and it's been working splendidly. I downloaded for you. I remember maybe a year ago. I downloaded Google Chrome, which is by and large, by popularity, the a far better internet browser than Safari.
Okay.
It's faster. There's also things that can there's a free thing that will let you block any pop-ups that come up, and it'll just block them. You'll see it pop up and then bam, it's gone. And I downloaded that for you, and now I see, and I saw a while ago, I just never brought it up, that Google Chrome is no longer on your computer and you're back to just using Safari. Why is that?
Man, I do the best I can.
Yeah, but that's not really an excuse.
First off, maybe I didn't know it was a browser.
Okay.
Okay?
Right.
I don't know, but go ahead and put it on, you know.
Well,
so here's what it comes down to. I've got my computer, and I've got the browser that I feel comfortable using because I've been using it for a number of years.
You know what you remind me of?
But
you know
there's another browser that you want to have.
No, that I would prefer you to use because I'm trying to make your life easier and better.
Didn't we have this whole conversation yesterday about expectations of people?
I'm not expecting anything from you. I didn't say I expect you to use this browser. Maybe there's an expectation.
Okay,
I expect you to give it a shot.
I think maybe I did give it a shot.
I think you probably saw
it. Download it again. Do it again.
I think you said it's going to...
Just put it up.
You know what it reminds me of? Is like back in the mid-80s to early 90s, when video game systems started coming out, you remind me of those old people who were like, you're not putting that on my TV. You're going to break the television. The fact that people thought to themselves, this thing which is meant to be used with a television will break that television.
All right. I do the best I can.
That's all right. I feel like we're going to hear a lot of that during these podcasts.
I'm going to do the best I can.
I think we need to stay focused on this podcast. It says here, get a free web browser.
Yeah, this is it. It's fast free web browser. This is Google Chrome that I'm about to be accept and install, okay?
Yeah, and we don't even know what accepting actually means. Just do it.
And we're going to do it. There's a printer-friendly version, whatever that means. See, look, it actually shows you.
You really don't know what a printer-friendly version is?
No, I get it. So you can print out the terms and conditions. I get
it. Okay.
I don't know a lot about computers. Most of the stuff that I hear.
The thing is,
most of the stuff that I get in terms of what I use on my computer I end up getting it from my friend Deshaun. He's the one who really tells me about what's good.
I think maybe one of the reasons I use Safari is that it's made for Mac.
Look, Chrome for mobile. Bring your Chrome experience to your phone or tablet. Get it on Google Play or download on the App Store. So I think it has been optimized for Apple.
All right.
Why is this such a painful experience for you?
I don't know. You're putting something on my computer that's you know, this is my life. We've had this discussion before.
Right,
but I'm not
doing anything wrong. I'm not hurting your computer why do you feel like the browser that I use on my computer on a daily basis is going to somehow murder your computer?
Imagine if someday when you were out, I was to go into your room and repaint the room.
Still use
Imagine
Safari.
I was to
you're
go,
still going to use Safari.
Imagine when you're gone, build another room. And then take the stuff from your room, put it in this other room, okay, and say, no, I really thought you would like this room better. This is the room I want you living in. I'm going along with it, but, you know, I just respect the fact that this is my space.
Right, but what I'm saying is that you're the way you're reacting to it is a little different than what I was thinking, is that imagine if you go into your room and on your bookshelf there's another book.
That's it's more like there'd be another a different bookshelf.
How is it a different bookshelf? This is an app on your computer along with many other apps that you can choose to use or not use.
It's more like... go ahead.
Where are your downloads?
Part of it is also the fact that I know how to use... Like you just said, where are your downloads? I knew where to go on Safari to get mine.
Well, I have a folder on the bottom right-hand corner right down here that actually... like has all my downloads, and so I just click on that. Why do you act like I'm saying something wrong? I'm just telling you what my computer
wrong.
It's getting I can feel the energy in this room changing simply by installing Chrome on your computer. So now I need to go back to the now I go to the applications folder. Applications, there's Chrome. So now I click it and I drag it right here.
Do you have my computer set up the way you want it? Okay.
I'm just trying to help you.
Thank you very
much. I'm trying to help you.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. I mean, the fact that I was perfectly happy using Safari.
Yeah, it's not good enough.
It wasn't.
It's not good enough for you.
I just wanted to help.
That's not good enough for you. Now watch. This is the one thing that I'm going to do, all right? Check this out.
Right.
All right. So I'm going to... Oh, shit. I closed out of it.
See, I told you.
Watch.
You broke it.
Adblock Plus. Right here. Surf the web without annoying ads. Block banners, pop-ups, and video ads, even on Facebook and YouTube. Unobtrusive ads aren't being blocked in order to support websites. Configurable. It's free. Oh, look at this. 10 million plus users with 50,613 reviews. 4.5 out of 5-star rating. And I still bet you're thinking to yourself that some Russians are going to be able to go some back door into your computer and steal all your shit. Now, here's the thing. I was about to go on Safari here. I was about to go on your Mac and check to see how much money the Turtles, the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movie made this year.
Google.
Box Office Mojo.
Box Office Mojo. I know it's been doing really well because I have it on Hollywood Stock Exchange.
Yeah. I got you on Hollywood Stock Exchange, and that had to be, what, 15 years ago?
Yep.
I got bored of it after, like, you know, a month. But my dad has continued. You know, he might have had some periods of on or off with the Hollywood Box Office, but it's the Hollywood Stock Exchange. But what Hollywood Stock Exchange is it's essentially it's a fake stock market where you buy, sell, and trade stocks in for movies that come out, and your quote money is increased depending on how well those movies do. It's actually pretty cool.
Okay, it's done 117 million domestic, 67 million foreign, 185 total.
Right, but I'm just looking for this week.
It's 28 million.
28 million. Guardians of the Galaxy, 24 million. Let's Be Cops, 17 million. And The Expendables 3, which just came out, fourth place, $16 million.
My general feeling is that when your movie requires a star to open it, you know, like, and The Expendables is the kind of movie that has a star opening it, right? If the star has major plastic surgery to make them look younger, and you can tell by looking at it, because you know some people's plastic surgery you don't notice.
Right,
Susan Sarandon, beautiful plastic surgery, you don't notice it.
I didn't even know she had plastic surgery.
See, that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah,
you know,
Stallone. Well, the thing is, Stallone had plastic surgery in between Rocky II and Rocky III. Like, that's when he started getting plastic surgery.
But the ones I'm talking about is like 5 years ago when all of a sudden his face, you know,
It looks like a shiny peach.
Right.
Now,
Al Pacino, so now I've gotten used to it.
Right.
Know, you forgot.
The problem with Al Pacino is he's bright orange. His complexion is weird.
But the movies he's in doesn't necessarily require a star to open the movie.
Right.
You know, he's in quality movies that are based on the acting and the people who watch it.
We found this girl wrapped up in garbage bags.
Garbage bags?
That was from Insomnia. Like, rest in peace, Robin Williams. That, God damn it, if I don't love me some Insomnia.
Oh, I feel so sad about Robin.
Right? It's a Dan, did you know him? I know you knew him, but I'm for this next part, I'm pretty much going to be asking him questions because I know the answers, but you don't, and you might find it interesting. So did you know Robin?
If you were a comic like I was, and you're around the major comedy clubs over the past 35 years,
right,
you would have times when you were around Robin,
right.
And
so, you've conversed with him, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, you knew of each other,
and you knew each other, is what I'm saying.
If you had asked Robin who Ross Bennett was, he wouldn't, I don't think, have known.
Right.
But the few times we bumped into each other in the last few years, he recognized me.
But when was the first? What I'm getting at is, when was the first time that you guys met or spoke or?
I was in the same room with him,
right,
was 78, 36 years ago.
Uh-huh.
Right about this month.
Right.
I went to San Francisco to do the San Francisco International Comedy Competition.
Ah.
The third one.
Classy.
Okay. The first one was 1975, and Robin Williams came in second.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Do you know who won?
Guy named Bob Farley. And what happened was that during the finals night, the electricity went off.
Mm.
Bob Farley's on stage, I guess. And I don't know Bob. I only know this from what I've told. I don't know these guys, this guy. The light goes off. The electric goes off in the room. So now there's like 400 people in the room. It's pitch dark. And Bob Farley said, "All right, when they come back on, we all yell surprise." Okay. And the San Francisco Comedy Competition always had a great appreciation for wit and being in the moment.
Right.
Okay? And that guy, that was the perfect time to display being in the moment.
Right.
Okay?
But, you know, you think to yourself, I mean, who was more in the moment during his stand-up comedy than Robin Williams? You know what I mean?
Right. But
so you think that one line of his when the lights went off, that won him the competition?
Yes.
Wow.
That's the story as I was told.
Right.
Of course, you have to remember this is, you know, Robin Williams wasn't a star.
Right.
People were seeing him, were still seeing him for the very first time. The beats he was hitting on stage were completely original. You know, he was taking people, you know, to places that were completely original. Some people were not used to hearing things done the way Robin was doing.
Right.
I mean, he was still corralling, using modern terminology, he was still corralling his audience,
yeah.
Okay? But I think one of the things I read a review that there were all these rules in the competition, and one of them was you couldn't wear a watch. You couldn't wear a wristwatch.
That's weird.
Couldn't wear a wristwatch because you have to know the time. You have to know the time.
Okay.
And you would lose points if you were more than 30 seconds off the 5-minute set, the 10-minute
set.
Wow,
so this is like, there were like rules.
There was massive rules.
This is like Olympics.
That's exactly it. And so it said no wristwatches. So Robin comes with a watch on his ankle. Okay. And partway through, he lifts his foot up. You know, they didn't say anything about ankle watches. You know, something along those lines.
That's awesome.
You know, and that's just a simple display of his wit.
Right.
You know, but anyways, that's...
I wonder if he lost points for it. You know?
That's why he lost.
Exactly.
Thought he was so funny.
He lost by half a point because of his ankle watch.
I think it was like he lost by like 0.002 points.
Oh, that's insane.
It was just very, very, you know...
That's insane.
And so when I did the competition 5 times, starting...
Is this competition still going?
Yes.
Wow. All right.
The first one was in 76.
Right.
And then the second one was 77, and Dana Carvey won that.
Ah, as he should have.
And
because Dana Carvey's the man.
And the third one was 1978, and I believe... The juggler Michael Davis won 1978.
Mm-hmm.
I made it to the semifinals, which, you know, I mean, I'd only been doing stand up full time for about 4 or 5 months.
Right.
And I go out there and I did my 5-minute set and I did very, very well. I made it to the semis, but I couldn't carry 10 minutes.
Ah.
You know, I couldn't do in 10 minutes. I couldn't sustain in 10 minutes like I sustain in 5.
Right.
It's a problem I've had for years.
Oh, sex joke.
So when we're doing the one in 78,
mm-hmm.
and I'm in San Francisco, I've got a duffel bag. I've got my army duffel bag, okay, with whatever I own in my little army duffel bag. And
you were in. Did you get it from the army?
I got it from when I was in the army, right?
Oh, okay.
I mean, I'd only gotten out of the army a year and a half earlier.
Oh, wow.
Okay, I got out in February of 77. Now it's like August or September of 78.
Okay.
And what happens is, I'm at the finals night.
Right.
And they're telling me that, okay, if we need a guest set, we're going to have you do a guest set. Okay. And I had seen Robin, I think, probably a year before on some sort of a TV special because he was in the new Laugh-In TV show.
Mm-hmm.
They had a new Laugh-In for like about a few months. And they did a special with a bunch of live, you know, all the comics on that did a performance thing. I remember seeing him just walking through a room, just, just riffing on everybody he saw and just killing. And that's the only exposure I'd had to Robin Williams. So I get backstage at the Waldorf was the name of the place where the performance was going.
Right.
And this guy comes in. And it's Robin in his absolute heyday. Mork and Mindy, I think, had not started yet.
Okay.
I think it was like, a couple of weeks away or whatever. But he was hot. It was like, among the industry, everybody, they knew this guy was popping.
Yeah.
So now it's in it's not backstage. It's like in a room that could probably hold 40, 50, 60 people just milling about. This was our green room area. And there was all the other comedians who were going to be in the finals and other people who are producers. And Robin comes in, and the guy just, and it's the whole thing with the suspenders. He's, in his, the absolute iconic imagery that, when he became a star. And he just worked the backstage room, going from person to person to person and doing bits for each and every one of them. And a nonstop flow. And he just completely owned the room. And then he was sick. And he had asked to not go up. This is what I was told. And the producers introduced him to the audience anyway.
Oh, wow.
Okay. And so there was no way he wasn't going to go up when everybody's, giving a standing ovation.
So the producers were pretty much dicks. And they were like, eh.
They
forced his hand.
That's the way I understood.
Right.
Okay. But to be fair, how do you not tell them Robin Williams?
Where was this?
This was in San Francisco.
But what comedy club?
Wasn't a comedy club. There were no comedy clubs. This is before comedy clubs. You understand what I'm saying? This is before comedy clubs.
Is it really?
Yeah. There were no comedy clubs.
Oh, wow.
There was a couple of workshops.
Right.
And showcase rooms like the Improv and the Comedy Store and the Comedy Store and the Improv. San Francisco had one called the Holy City Zoo. So anyway, he goes up. And I got to see him do 20 minutes in front of probably 500 to 700 people with no microphone. That it was one of those things, you see it and you go, why am I even doing this? It's like,
why would
I continue doing this?
When
there's someone like that. I mean, it's like,
right.
How can Vic Damone, once he hears Sinatra, ever decide to stand behind a microphone again?
if any of you out there know who Vic Damone is, I applaud you. Okay. Because that is the first time I have ever heard the name Vic Damone.
Okay. A name singer,
right,
from the 40s, 50s, 60s,
okay,
nightclub singer,
right,
recording artist.
Right.
But he wasn't Sinatra. Anyway, but as soon as I saw Robin there, I knew I wasn't going to be doing a guest set.
Yeah, I got you. I wish you had. I wish you have had to have followed that.
So from that moment on, I had many, many instances where I was on the verge of going on stage. And through the front door, you'd hear, oh, am I too late?
It's too late to go on.
I don't, only if you think it's absolutely necessary. I'd love to, but I don't want to interrupt. No, no, go ahead. Play. And
hold on. Okay, I'll tighten my suspenders, and I'll go up there, and I'll do my thing.
So that's the first time I was around him.
Nice.
And then, you know, I moved to Los Angeles 6 months later, and I was there for 5 years. That's where I met your mother, mm-hmm. you know. And I think you were there for a brief period of time after you had been conceived.
Got it.
For a few months. And what happens is, so for those 4.5 years, I get there in 79, so it's Mork and Mindy's just in its first 6 months. He's a giant star. And so I got to be around the Comedy Store and the Improv and just to see this guy nonstop, repeatedly. And it was just amazing. I got to see him so many times. I remember going to a Hollywood party, you know, up in the hills, and Robin was there, and we were skinny dipping, you know.
Oh.
Oh, yes.
Oh.
And
a big old penis.
I don't think so.
Oh, wow.
I don't think so. Either the water was very cold, or he was of Irish descent.
Hey-o.
But the... and then your mother had a crush on him.
Ah.
I think I've always told you, I think the reason she and I got together was because of Robin Williams.
Ah, okay.
Did I ever tell you that?
No.
There was an article, basically the first night I performed there at the Improv, and I did it was actually the second time I performed there, but it was the first time that Bud saw me. And I was only there for about a week. And I did very well, and Bud said, you know, you're going to do very well. He might have even said, you know, you're going to be a star, hang out here, things are going to go great for you. And I remember him bringing me over to the Red Book to give me times, you know, nobody was getting paid. There was no, and I remember the other comics, I remember feeling arrows of resentment and envy coming out towards me.
Were any of them, would anybody out there know any of the comics that were looking at you like?
Maybe, but I wouldn't mention those right now.
Okay.
And then I felt a tap on my shoulder, and I turn around, and this face is beaming up at me. Your mom was like 5'2", and she's just looking up at me with this giant, loving, one of these, you know, it's the smile of love that only a 23-year-old woman can give a guy, you know, where she is, it's just 100%. She just gave me everything.
I've heard from every, her name was Jan Goder, and I've heard, I didn't know her personally because she passed away when I was very young, but I've heard from everybody who ever met her that she was just an amazing, warm, loving person. And that's something that I've been able to keep with me throughout my life.
She's beaming up at me, and I believe if this is a podcast about brutal honesty, or these are supposed to be honest, right?
Well, this is whatever.
Yeah,
we're not going to label anything besides the fact that this is our debut show.
Okay, so what happens is, we go outside and to smoke a joint. Okay, she had a bicycle. No, I didn't have a car. She rode down from her place on a bicycle. I was crashing on a guy's couch, Al Allen Peterson, a gay guy who had been in the San Francisco Comedy Competition 6 months earlier.
Oh, wow.
Who said he'd let me sleep on his couch.
Nice.
And I stayed there on his couch. I stayed on his couch. He had his own bed in his own bedroom. But I remember he used to pet his dog.
And by couch, you mean he was inside of you.
And he had a dog. He had a boxer. And I remember, you know how you pet a dog's stomach sometimes?
Yeah.
I think he did more than pet the stomach. It was a female dog, and I think I remember seeing him rub it between its legs in a way that was, that made me as uncomfortable as you feel hearing about it.
Okay. That's enough.
So anyway, I go back over to his place with Jan, your mom, and I try to entice her to stay with me. And she said, no, I'm not going to do that tonight. And I had just gotten a tattoo. You know, I go out to L.A. with like $120 cash. That's all I had. I had a one-way ticket, like $150 or $120 cash.
And in late 70s money, that would have been $75,000.
And I remember I bought...
No, how much would that be in today's money?
Maybe $500.
$500?
Maybe at the most.
All right.
And I remember buying some drugs with it, buying a half a bag of pot and a couple of Quaaludes.
Yeah.
You know, it was like Jack and the Beanstalk.
Yeah.
And, what'd you get to eat? I got this marijuana and some Quaaludes.
And some lewds.
Yeah. And I remember I traded part of the bag of pot for this tattoo.
Yeah.
And the tattoo was...
Back in the days when you could trade drugs for services.
And I got it across the street from the Comedy Store.
Well, legal services. Also.
Across the street from the Comedy Store was a tattoo place where the House of Blues is now, or at least... which is the same place where your mother and I had our wedding reception. But that's where the tattoo place was. And it was a silly tattoo. It was just a little... It was a rainbow around a heart. And the rainbow ended up in stars at the end.
So you slept on his couch, huh?
It was... And the thing is, it was a little heart. And I still had the patch on. But I wanted to show her my tattoo. And I pull it off slowly and I show it to her. And she looked at it in her mouth. She just like became so surprised. And she grabbed her T-shirt and she pulled it up. She wasn't wearing a bra. And on her breast, on the side of her breast, was the exact same star. The exact same size, the exact same shape, the exact same color. She just had this little star on her heart.
Wow.
No, not a star. She had a little heart. It wasn't a star. It was a heart.
Okay.
She had the exact same heart that the rainbow went around on my arm was on her breast.
Wow, that's awesome.
And
she
invited me over for dinner the next day, and I went over for dinner, and I never moved out.
There you go.
You know,
that's love, ladies and gentlemen. but you said she had a huge crush on Robin.
So, as I understand it, about a week or two earlier. In a woman's magazine, like Women's Day or Red Book or one of those kind of things, she had read an article by Valerie Williams, Robin's then wife, about what it was like to be the wife of this up-and-coming comedy star. And it went into all the things that she did to help him, you know, mm-hmm. in terms of telling him all the stuff he was improvising is very funny, but you should capture it and retweet it as material. Remember, there's things like that. You know, she helped him structure some things. And I think that when she was out at the club, I was her Robin Williams.
Yeah, I got you.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, I think that article was something she identified with and that she would have liked to have been, you know, that you know how it is. You read something, you imagine yourself in that position. Even if you don't consciously imagine it, you subconsciously imagine it. And I think all of a sudden she saw me, and I did kill. You've seen me.
Yeah, you do. When you do well, you crush it.
From the beginning of my, career, when I did well, I was able to kill.
Right.
And that's probably the thing that's kept me doing this as long as I've been doing it, you know. And she saw me kill, and I just think that solidified what it was we were going to become.
Well, before we close up for the afternoon. Maybe a couple more Robin stories that people haven't heard, you know, since this is basically going to be our Robin Williams tribute. Our debut show is sort of a tribute to Robin. Do you have any other, I remember you were telling me once about seeing him with Martin Short on stage or something like that.
We can do these stories now. But it's been an hour. We got 55 minutes here.
Maybe we can have a part two.
That's what I would like to do.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. Because an hour just seems it's
seems like enough.
I want to be able to give it more focus.
Yeah. Okay. That makes sense. Sure.
Okay.
This has been fun. I hope you know we're gonna try and make this a weekly thing, guys. And
weekly, we're doing it daily.
Wrecked him. Damn near killed him. Yeah, but I want to say, you know, whoever listens to this, if you can just, you know, tell your friends. If you enjoyed it, tell your friends. And because, you know, in order to do this, we would like to have some followers, because this is a part of us that we're giving to you people. So,
God damn it, respect that.
Oh, this was great.
Yeah, man.
You know, so.
Hopefully, you know, at some points we're going to be having some guests on, and, you know, old comics, new comics. This is free form right now, and this is, but I really enjoyed what we did today. So, I love you, man.
I love you too. Now turn on the air conditioner.
Yeah, it's pretty hot.
I'm getting hot.
This is hot.
All right.
Yeah, later.